Fans Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Monday's show, I'll chat with Prince Nesta about the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Also, we'll have a report on the opening matches in the new African Football League. But first, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Springboks of South Africa, who advanced once again to the Rugby World Cup final by rallying to beat England 16-15 over the weekend at the Stade de France near Paris. The defending champion Springboks fought back and pulled out a scrappy win after Andre Pollard's late penalty kick. South Africa will face New Zealand in the final on Saturday, October 28th at the Stade de France. Both teams are bidding for a record fourth world title. The All Blacks of New Zealand advanced to the title match by routing Argentina 44-6. Outside the Stade de France, South African fans celebrated the semifinal victory over England. Springboks supporter Dilip Tex was delighted.
It was the amazing semifinal ever. So exciting. No words for it. Let's do it again next week.
Another Springboks fan, Mirka Smith, says she's looking forward to the big match against the All Blacks.
It's going to be an amazing final. South Africa versus New Zealand. It's never been done before since 1995. I think we are going to win it. I'm a South African.
South African fan Dimitri says while luck might have been on the side of the Springboks, the team deserves to play once again for the trophy.
Well, it was a typical semi-final. The weather had a lot to do with it. I thought South Africa were quite lucky to win it, but that's a sign of a good side. They're hanging until the last minute. And they were patient, they got the try, and then they executed the penalty. Well done to Pollard in South Africa. They deserve to be in the final. And I believe the two best teams are in the final.
You're listening to jubilant fans of the Springboks of South Africa outside the Stade de France near Paris. On Saturday at the Stade de France, the defending champion Springboks will play New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup final.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again with a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Prince, I see where man of the match Mo Salah scored his sixth and seventh goals of the season to lead Liverpool over Everton.
That's right. His two second-half goals ensured Liverpool beat 10-man Everton 2-0 at Anfield. The Egyptian playmaker scored from a penalty kick in the 75th minute before doubling his tally from a late counter-attack drive deep into added time. Both goals were also scored after Ashley Young had been sent off. Salah has now scored or assisted in each of his last Premier League appearances at Anfield, joining an elite list comprising of Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry, who previously done so in competitive home appearances in the competition. The Reds' victory saw Klopp's side move to third in the English Premier League table, with Everton settling in at 16th. Here's Liverpool manager Jürgen Klopp's thoughts on the match.
We should have, in the first half, we had three big opportunities which didn't even end up as shot on target, which is not cool. But we should be, if with a better last pass, we have to score there 1, 2, or 3, and that didn't happen, and that's not helpful. red card for Everton, and that obviously changed the game. We didn't use it immediately to our advantage. Half-time, first and foremost, I told the boys we ignore the fact that we are one man up, because it always leads to frustration if you don't get through. You can feel that in the crowd as well. It's completely normal. If I would sit there, it would be the same. Everybody thinks now each opportunity has to be a chance. Each possession phase has to be a chance, and that will not happen. But we kept them away from the goal, from our goal. We that's very important, because the more set pieces they have, the more likely it is that they will score.
That's Liverpool head coach Jurgen Klopp speaking after his team's win against Everton in the Premier League.
Prince, how about defending champion Manchester City avoiding a third consecutive Premier League defeat after securing a crucial win at home? Talk to us about that, Prince.
Yes, Sonny, that actually turned out to be quite a fierce context towards the end of the match. The defending champions eventually managed to secure a 2-1 win against Brighton, thanks to goals from Julian Alvarez and Norwegian Benjamin Erling Haaland. However, Spanish footballer of Guinea-Bissau on descent Ansu Fati's late second-half goal set the stage for another final period, but City eventually sealed the 3 points to go top of the Premier League. City boss Pep Guardiola expressed thoughts on his team's performance.
Control the game is impossible. No team on the world can do that. I'm surprised that we did it during 55, 60 minutes. We make an exceptional first half. We had more chances. We were aggressive when they link with the strikers. We link because they made us so man-to-man as well with Julian and Erling. And after we contact with the winger, especially in our left side, because Milner and the winger floating a little bit, Josko and Jeremy, and we could attack in that space better in the first half. The second half, they closed more that space and had more space maybe in the right side, but especially when Ansu Fati came in and Mitoma make a movement diagonal outside, inside. They are really good. So when they had the ball, it's almost impossible to take it, and we suffered it. 10, 50, 20 minutes, 25. And after it was a period, 5, 10 minutes before of the game, the end of the game, like we took the ball again with Bernardo, with Rodri, with everyone. We were the post that you need to make a transition, because Mitoma is an exceptional player. And of course, Ansu Fati in smaller spaces, they have pace. But yeah, after two defeats was important, the performance, because I think the credit I give to Roberto and his team is an exception. When you see the games he played, when all the teams always are really, really good.
That's Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola speaking after his team's win against Brighton in the Premier League.
Prince, the Gunners of Arsenal at the top of the Premier League table with Manchester City. How about an update on Arsenal, Prince?
Arsenal also moved level on points with the Citizens after an entertaining 2-2 draw with Chelsea in a match that was played at Stamford Bridge. The Gunners were able to preserve their unbeaten start to the Premier League this season after fighting back from 2-0 down to secure a draw with the Blues. Cole Palmer's penalty, awarded for a handball against French footballer of Cameroonian descent William Saliba after a VAR review, gave Chelsea the lead before Mikhailo Mudrić lobbed goalkeeper David Raya to double the scoreline. Declan Rice pulled a goal back for the Gunners before substitute Leandro Trossard hit the target to secure a draw. Here's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta on his team's performance.
I think we went wrong is the start of the game. I think we didn't play with enough purpose with the ball and clarity, and we were just moving the ball without really having the intention to thread them, and that's a really dangerous thing to do against teams like Chelsea. And then we didn't win enough duels, and in tight areas when we had them, they escaped from that and they attack open spaces, and they are really, really dangerous things to do. So credit to them as well, because they are a top side full of top players, and you have to acknowledge that. And we don't have those two things, then we become an average team. When we changed that and we started to leave the level after 20, 25 minutes, and especially the second half, that's a different game. We became a much better team, even without the conceded the second goal, and it's disappointment. The way the team reacted is phenomenal. Well, the players that they were here, the players that they are on the bench, thinking how the hell I'm going to change the game and help the team, So that's the part that I loved.
Chelsea's Argentine boss Mauricio Pochettino also shared his thoughts on the match.
We feel very disappointed, but they cannot change the analysis and the judgment of the game. I think we were very competitive. Again, a team that is a very good team that was fighting for the Premier League last season.
That's Chelsea head coach Mauricio Pochettino speaking after his team's 2-1 draw against Arsenal in the Premier League.
Prince, there were tributes throughout the Premier League following the death of Manchester United legend Sir Bobby Charlton at the age of 86. And Prince, I see where Man U players paid tribute with an emotional road win.
That's right, Sonny. The footballing icon would have been proud of what was probably the most fitting send-off after the Red Devils secured their first back-to-back league victory of the season with a 2-1 win against Sheffield United. Scott McTominay and Diego Dalot are all on target for United, while Ollie McBurnie scored the Blades' consolation goal. After the great Bobby Charlton's family announced that the England World Cup winner, who enjoyed a glittering career with United, had passed peacefully at the age of 86, tributes quickly began pouring in from across the footballing world. Former United player and England captain David Beckham praised the legendary midfielder who led England to its only World Cup title in 1966 as quote-unquote a national hero. United manager Erik ten Hag also shared his tributes to the soccer icon.
We are happy we did that. And as you said, yeah, we have to pay country attention and do it in a good way. And first half, I think it wasn't the standard from Sir Bobby Charlton. But the second half was a bit better. But yeah, of course, the news arrived and we are very sad. And our thoughts are with his family, especially his wife, Lady Norma, with his children, with his grandchildren. I think, yeah, with his passing, a legend, a giant passing away, his achievements are so immense and huge, global. It's not only England, I think, global. If you see the facts he achieved, it's incredible.
That's United manager Erik ten Hag sharing his thoughts on the passing of United legend Sir Bobby Charlton.
Finally, Prince, let's turn our attention to France. Paris Saint-Germain back to winning ways.
Yeah, they did secure a victory, and guess who led them back into that position? French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe was actually in top form as the Parisians cruised to a 3-0 home victory against Strasbourg. Mbappe scored a goal and set up another to help PSG move to third in the French league. Nice also secured a 1-0 win against Olympique Marseille, courtesy of a late header by Ivan Gerson, while two goals by Alexandre Golovin allowed Monaco to come from a goal down to beat Mets 2-1 at home and reclaim the top spot in the standings. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Thanks, Prince. The inaugural edition of the 8-team African Football League kicked off over the weekend. In the opening match, Simba of Tanzania drew 2-2 with visiting Al Ahly of Egypt. A capacity crowd of 60,000 attended the match in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. One of the fans at the game was FIFA president Gianni Infantino.
Well, we're here for, of course, a great event. The first match, the opening of the African Football League, a competition which will change the landscape of African and world football. But we are here in a country where we have family, where we have and we feel love, where we feel and have football and passion, and that's why I feel home here with all my presidents, all my brothers, and really happy today.
For more reaction to the new African Football League, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chief football writer at ACLSports.com, Fisayo Dairo.
I do like the concept of the African Football League. Yeah, the thinking and the thought process behind it, although it could serve as some sort of encumbrance on some of the clubs, which I don't think they can complain, because they get back from the competition what every football club wants to have. They've got the necessary exposure, not only for the club management, but for the players. All the games have been streamed live on the FIFA Plus app, which means that it's available for viewers in over 200 countries globally. Not even the CAF Champions League, which is the apex competition of African club football competition, can provide that. And what about the monetary aspect? It's a very, very welcoming idea. You know, it brings to the club what they really need to compete, not only on the continent, but of course, when it comes to looking at their contemporaries across the globe. So I do like the concept of it, and I'm happy that the teams participating and the players, they all embraced it, and it's been a success so far.
8 teams are taking part in the inaugural edition of the African Football League. The teams will win $1 million for early losers and $4 million for the winners. What's your take on this?
I believe you'll quite agree with me that money is the name of the game these days. And having such huge amount of money being pumped into this competition is quite the sweetener for the clubs. Yes, the clubs have some lot of bills to pay. They've got inflation rising high in many of their countries. And having $1 million guaranteed for participants' competition is just it. It is enough to motivate them to want to annually be part of this competition. You know, it's an inaugural edition. These teams are there based on invitation. And then you are getting a whooping amount of money that you have not earned in prize money in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, bar teams like Al Ahly, Mamelodi Sundowns, or Wydad Casablanca, who have won the CAF Champions League in recent times, most of the other clubs have not really earned huge. As much as having $4 million for the winner in this kind of competition, that is one of the reasons why the clubs will die to participate in the competition. And that's why they are all putting in all their efforts. If you see the games, you know, from Friday night at Benjamin Kapa Stadium, which ended 2-2 between Simba and Al Ahly, you will see the passion, even among the fans, even among the players. Nobody wants to miss out on these largesse. And I think it's very good for African football. I also think that it's good for the players and for the clubs itself.
Kisayo, some football analysts think that the league may outshine the CAF Champions League and CAF Confederations Cup. What's your reaction to this?
I really do understand where that fear is coming from. But I think it behoves on the African Football Confederation, CAF, to dispel such fears. You know, yes, we have the Champions League, we have the Confederation Cup, but this is a special competition. Why? Because like the CAF president, Patrice Motsepe, said last week, teams do not really make enough of money in those two competitions, especially if you don't get to the group stage. Teams spend a lot of money flying across the African continent from the preliminary round to the first round of these Champions League and Confederation Cup games. And if you are eliminated in any of these rounds, you don't make a dime. So this is what the Super League is trying to change. And it is good enough that the qualification process for the Super League comes from participating in the Champions League itself. So I think CAF really had this well mapped out. Even if it takes the shine, the Champions League outshines the Confederation Cup. So if the Super League comes as a super competition, the money is enough to go around to make sure that everyone participates, to give the clubs something to fight for, to give the clubs something to look forward to. So I don't think it's a problem if the African Super League really outshines these two competitions. It will just help the clubs to strive to also play in this competition, because that is the peak. It's going to be the peak of African club competitions for now.
That's Fisayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com. And Fisayo spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Fisayo Dairo, Chief Football Writer at ACLSports.com, and you are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Samson Omale joins us now with more African football news.
Burundi became the latest country to implement FIFA's Football for Schools program in a ceremony held at the Uranani Stadium in Buganda outside Bujumbura on Saturday. FIFA President Gianni Infantino, who attended the inauguration event, announced that Burundi is the 100th country to implement the project. The project aims to make the game more accessible to young people by incorporating football activities into the education system. Supported by UNESCO, it contributes to the education, development, and empowerment of around 700 million children worldwide. Around 1.5 million footballs have been distributed since it was first launched in Puerto Rico in 2019, and more than 23 million children are using the Football for Schools app. And now to Morocco, where the North African country plans to build a large stadium in Beslemani near Casablanca and upgrade six others in preparations for co-hosting the 2030 World Cup. The Prime Minister's office has announced that a deal has been signed between the government and state-owned fund CDG to finance the new stadium to be ready by 2028 for a total cost of $500 million. The six stadiums to be renovated to host the Africa Cup of Nations in 2025 and the 2030 World Cup are in the cities of Agadir, Casablanca, Fez, Marrakech, Rabat, and Tangier. Earlier this month, FIFA allocated the 2030 World Cup to Morocco, Spain, and Portugal, but also said Uruguay, Argentina, and Paraguay will host three matches to mark the tournament's centenary. Morocco will be the second African country to host the World Cup after South Africa in 2010. In mixed martial arts news, former welterweight champion Kamaru Usman of Nigeria suffered a third straight UFC defeat to unbeaten Khamzat Chimaev in the middleweight bout at the Etihad Arena in Abu Dhabi on Saturday. Chimaev successfully increased his undefeated record up to 13-0 with a majority decision win over the Nigerian at the UFC 294. Usman is now on a three-fight losing streak with two losses to Leon Edwards, but he had five consecutive title defenses at the welterweight leading to that point. In his post-match interview, Kamaru Usman wished his middleweight showdown against Khamzat Chimaev was five rounds and not three.
You know, it took me some time, but, you know, that's the difference. In a three-round fight, you can't start slow like that. You have to start. You know, it's not a five-rounder to where you have time to work yourself back in the fight. So that was my miscalculation.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. You can follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of African news. For world news, go to voanews.com. The AP's David Schuster joins us now with National Football League news and an update on the Major League Baseball playoffs.
A seventh game will be necessary to decide the American League Championship Series as Texas got a grand slam from Adolis Garcia and three hits from Mitch Garver, defeating Houston 9-2.
I've said it from the middle of August. That was going to be a dogfight all the way to the end. Really, really good ball club on both sides. They have pitching, they have hitting, but so do we. And, you know, it's one game to settle it all, and I think everybody's pretty excited for that.
And so far through the first six games, the road team has been victorious. Turning to the NFL Sunday, and the best matchup was the final game of the day, a battle of 5-1 teams. And when the dust had settled, Philadelphia prevailed 31-17 over Miami behind a three-touchdown performance from Jalen Hurts.
I think we played really good complimentary football. Had some negative plays, obviously, with the fumble by me. Can't have that, and I must be living bad with the other one, the tip ball. But I'm just happy how we played together, happy how we persevered.
A few games came down to the final seconds, like in Cleveland, where Kareem Hunt scored a late touchdown, giving the Browns a 39-38 win over Indianapolis.
We battled for that one, and I feel like we're going to battle every game from here on out with teams because, you know, a lot of teams are trying to beat us, and we want to keep this thing going, so we got to fight every game.
Also fighting was New England, getting a late touchdown pass from Mac Jones to defeat Buffalo 29-25.
I have a lot of confidence in myself, and I'm not going to sit up here and say it every time, but I do believe in myself, and I do that through work and all that stuff. And you know, that's why football is the greatest team sport. It's the quarterback. You know, you go as your quarterback goes. So for me, just continuing to be the same guy every day and just be Mac.
Elsewhere, Atlanta got a last-second field goal, beating Tampa Bay 16-13. Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdown passes, KC 31-17 over the Chargers, and Lamar Jackson accounted for 4 scores, Baltimore 38-6 over Detroit, with the other winners Chicago, Seattle, Pittsburgh, Denver, and the New York Giants. I'm David Schuster.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 0905 and 2005 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news. Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week for the 5-Minute VOA Newscast. We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from across the world. Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The National Basketball Association will tip off a new season Tuesday night with 2 games. In the opening contest, the defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets will host the Los Angeles Lakers, and that will be followed by a game between the Golden State Warriors and the Phoenix Suns in San Francisco, California. The Nuggets swept the Lakers 4-0 in the Western Conference Finals last season, but all the games were close. The Nuggets then went on to beat the Miami Heat 4-1 in the NBA Finals to lift their first NBA trophy. Serbian star Nikola Jokic will once again be leading the Nuggets. After winning their inaugural title, Nuggets head coach Michael Malone talked about the basketball journey he's been on with Jokic.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, 2 MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship, you know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like he's kind of acting like this was like another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. So, you know, I love Nikola 8 years, love Jamal 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, to challenge ourselves, to get better collectively, individually. So, yeah, it's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person, and I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
As Coach Malone said, Nikola Jokic has won 2 League Most Valuable Player awards. The reigning NBA MVP is the Cameroonian Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. And Embiid will definitely be a big man to watch along with Jokic. 2 more big men who will be fun to watch this upcoming NBA season are 19-year-old Frenchman Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs and 21-year-old Chet Holmgren of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Holmgren missed all of last season with injury, but he and Wembanyama already have had 1 memorable preseason duel, And they are both top contenders for the NBA Rookie of the Year Award. The NBA tipping off a new season Tuesday night. And that wraps up the October 23rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.